Let us turn to Acts chapter 3, please. All those of you who heard Brother Christensen last week had a good time listening to his rich ministry from his warm personality. Acts chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your father. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So all we read this morning, but I want to speak on that word ignorant. That's about all I did for the 2 weeks I was away, was just pick up on this subject of ignorance, the sin of ignorance. Now, there are other scriptures in Acts that we'll refer to later on as we pass on through the book. But this subject of ignorance is a very important one. People may question your use of the word sin. Is ignorance sin? Yes, ignorance is sin. One is really amazed at the appalling ignorance that we see today, especially among people who profess to be Christians. And as we mentioned in our ad, it's not a case of being stupid. It's a case of not being enlightened or being informed. A man may be brilliant in any other field, a real genius in fields of science or medicine, but he's ignorant when it comes to the things of God. Ignorant as to the teaching of the scriptures. He's unenlightened and uninformed. And so I want to speak on that, and I want to say, as we ask the question in the ad, who is to blame, the pulpit or the pew, for this appalling state of ignorance and a lack of knowledge in the things of God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ answered that question. He says, if the blind, that is referring to the scribes and Pharisees, the doctors of the law, he says, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And people will not be able to say in that day when they meet God, well, I followed so-and-so. I came under the influence of preacher so-and-so. And I believe what he said. I didn't investigate myself in the Bible. I just trusted him. And I believed him. And I'm here in hell. Because he told me certain things out of the Bible and I believe him. The Lord will say, that's too bad. The blind and those who follow the blind shall both fall into the ditch. Simply meaning this, friend, that you are responsible to God for your ignorance in the things of God. You can buy the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God for 50 cents in a 5 and 10 cent store, a New Testament. And that'll give you all the wisdom and all the knowledge that you need relative to spiritual things. And the reason so many preachers can get away with so much that's not scriptural is because the people don't know the Bible themselves and they're not able to discern and criticize what is said from the book. And so it's not a case of laying the blame on the preacher, although they have a fearful responsibility. It's a case of those that rank and file and the people who go to church and people who don't go to church. They can get all the light and information they need by just getting a New Testament or a whole Bible. And so it's your responsibility to avoid being ignorant in the things of God. Now, while I was away, I tried to think up a number of words so we could line them up. And all these truths I'm going to mention and the scriptures we'll quote have that word ignorance in them. And all these passages we're going to refer to happened during the time, or were written during the time of the Acts of the Apostles. So they fit into our study. In other words, we have in the text we read this morning an ignorance of the Scripture. We also have ignorance of salvation. We have the ignorance of God selecting grace in the choice of His servants, His instruments. The world says they're unlearned and ignorant men. God says they're not. These men that follow me are not stupid. These men may not be enlightened or educated in the schools of men and the wisdom of the world, but they have the wisdom of God. And God says the wisdom of men is foolishness with Him. And so it pays for one to realize that God has made it possible for you to have all the education, the wisdom, and the knowledge you need as far as getting to heaven. Then we also have ignorant of worship. You have that in Acts 17. The Apostle Paul saw that inscription to the unknown God. He said, whom you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Then we'll notice also the ignorance of the state of sleeping sins. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Then ignorance relative to spiritual gifts. He takes that subject up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You notice these words beginning with S. Scripture, salvation, selecting grace, spiritual worship, the state of the sleeping saints, and spiritual gifts and power. Then he takes up the subject, urging the Christian not to be ignorant of the fact that saints suffer. The saints of God pass through trial and strife. Then he also takes up the subject of the sins of the saints, and why some are set aside, some are put on the shelf, and God cannot use them. Others are taken to heaven prematurely because of the sin of the saints. The apostle points that very clearly in 1 Corinthians when he speaks of abuse of the Lord's table. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God says, I've taken them home prematurely because of the abuse of the things of God. And there are sins unto death, but all the prayers in the world won't change. Then again, you have Satan's interference with our plans in Romans 1:13. How Satan interferes with the plans of God's people. And that was true with the Apostle Paul. And then we have Satan's devices. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices, we read in 2 Corinthians 2:11. And then we're not ignorant of Zion's future glory, as you have in Romans chapter 11. And I thought, well, when that came into my mind, Zion's glory, well, that doesn't fit in. It's a Z instead of an S. But you know, when I turned and read it, I thought, I believe it's an S there. And sure enough, in that very verse, it's not Z-I-O-N, it's S-I-O-N. And so it fits in. But here are men and women today, in the light of world events, when things are shaping up so clearly, so definitely, as to the end time, here you have the Zion's glory, Israel's glorious future. And men and women today are ignorant about that. They think that one of these days, God's going to come and he's going to take everyone up who professes to be a Christian. He might leave a few behind, like Hitler, Mussolini, or Stalin. But he's going to take all the good ones up and then destroy the planet with all that's on it. No, God has a plan for the future. And many are ignorant of that plan. But it's in the Bible. And then he speaks of the ignorance relative to the last day and the scoffers. The scoffers' doom that is coming scoffers' condemnation. Don't be ignorant of the fact that these scoffers are not getting away with it, who say, where is the promise of his coming? And since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. And so you have the scoffers' condemnation in 2 Peter 3:8. And also, he speaks in Acts 17 about the time of this ignorance, this period of ignorance, God overlooked. Or, in other words, he more or less tolerated it. He winked at it. But, he says, now, you have received light and understanding, and I'm going to hold you responsible. The times of this ignorance, God has winked at, but now he says, I command all men to repent. For God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that and the man whom he hath ordained, and that he hath given assurance unto all men, for he hath raised him from the dead. And then we have the coming again, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The season of ignorance ends when Jesus comes. So you have these 14 words beginning with S, and all of them have that word ignorance in. Very significant, covering all these truths. What does ignorance mean? Well, if you get your dictionary, you'll find out. Ignorance simply means unknowing, or uninformed, unenlightened, untaught. You're in the dark. In other words, some will say you're behind the time, you're ignorant. Those people who say that Christians are behind the time, and people will criticize the Christians for being behind the times. The Christian is not only up to date, he's ahead of date. And those who accuse us of being behind the times, they're the ignorant ones. They don't know what they're talking about. Because they haven't got their information and their knowledge from the Bible. And they're misinformed. So now we're going to take up this subject of the ignorance of the Scriptures. I read it to you there in that passage. But before we get into it, what about the sin of ignorance? I can see a lot of folks lift their eyebrows when they read that in the paper. If a person is ignorant, how can he be guilty of sin? If a person doesn't know about anything, is he going to be held responsible? The Bible says yes. And if you want scripture for that, I'll read it to you. Over in Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest, that was the Jewish priest, that is anointed to sin, is a priest sinning. According to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And in Leviticus 5:14, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, by a shekel of the silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And I want you to get this verse in Numbers 15 and verse 29. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, or God's earthly people, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. God says not only the ignorance of my people, but the ignorance of the unconverted, the unsaved. And what does he say? But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. You may read those texts on the surface and see no difference. But I want to draw your attention to this. the several times that sinning through ignorance is mentioned in the Old Testament, God always provided a sacrifice that when a person discovered his ignorance and he accepted God's provision, the sacrifice upon the altar, God forgave him. But if he sins the sin of presumption, there's no sacrifice provided. It tells you that right there. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off along his teeth. What is the sin of presumption? The sin of presumption is sinning against known light and known understanding. That's why David prayed, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins." You're ignorant of God's salvation. Once you get to know God's salvation and how you can be saved by grace through faith in Christ, you have been enlightened. And if you reject that light that God has given you, it's possible for you to be guilty of the sin of presumption, for which there is no salvation. Here you come to an apostate. People talk about the unpardonable sin. Well, here it is. The sin of presumption. The sin of rejecting the light of knowledge and understanding. Yes, you were ignorant of these things, but now you see them. They will explain to you, and you're responsible. Friend, if you turn these things down, the time may come when you'll pass that point of no return, and God's salvation will not reach you. And that's a very serious text that I've read to you. And what does it mean, the sin of ignorance? Well, I want you to get this thought. I thought over it one day, and I finally got the answer. At least I feel that the Lord gave it to me. It's according to the knowledge of God. Now, if I were to, or Christ had given his son to die for my knowledge of sin, it wouldn't go very deep. But God is looking upon sin as he sees it. And God's knowledge of sin is deeper and vaster than my knowledge of sin. Therefore, the sacrifice that is to be offered has got to meet God's estimate of sin, not mine. And you have sin in you, friend, that you don't even know about and never will. You have a nature so rotten before God, you'll never be able to plumb the depths of the rottenness and sinfulness of your fallen nature. But God knows all about it. And the sacrifice that is offered has got to meet God's estimate of sin, not mine. And that's a very solemn thought. It shows that God sees sin that we do not see. And therefore God has to be satisfied. The sin of ignorance. I don't care how much I know this Bible, or how much experience I have. I lived as old as Methuselah, 969 years. There'd still be things about sin that I couldn't apprehend with my mind. But God's mind sees sin in all its ugly finality. And God says the work of the cross has got to meet my requirements, my estimate, my knowledge of sin, not yours. Therefore, God says there's got to be a sacrifice for ignorance, for a lot of things that are ignorant to the human race. A lot of sins are ignorant to the human race. But not ignorant of God, for he knows everything. So the sacrifice has got to satisfy God. You hear this saying sometimes about ignorance is bliss. Well, I'll tell you, ignorance is not bliss in the things of God. For the ignorant shall burn and not be blessed. If you go on without Christ, you will not receive him. you will not be guided by the Scriptures. Your ignorance, if you stay in that ignorance willfully and deliberately, it means your ultimate condemnation, and it will not be bliss. You'll find that out. Another thing you hear about ignorance. Oh, if a person's ignorant, he's innocent. Ignorance is not innocent. Otherwise, if ignorance is innocent, innocence, why did God command them to repent? If they're ignorant, that means they're innocent, they don't know any better. Therefore, God will take them to heaven on the basis of their ignorance. Why send any people to the mission field? Why try to enlighten people with the gospel? Let them alone. They're better off ignorant. I'll tell you one thing, friend. They're ignorant, all right, but they don't have to be. Why, even Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Night and night, utter speech, and day knowledge. There is God speaking through creation. A man says he's ignorant of God, ignorant of God, a supreme being. Look at his handiwork. He's not ignorant at all. And the Bible gives you all the information you need to know about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven. I think the point is this. It's not the fact you're ignorant so much as the fact that you're not interested in attaining knowledge. You're just not interested in knowing the facts. And that's why people don't like to hear the old-fashioned gospel preach. They learn too much. They find out they're lost. They find out they can't save themselves. They find out they must be born again. And they just don't like to hear that. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Every time you come through that door, you'll hear the gospel. And a lot of people may have left here saying that while they were still ignorant of the way of salvation, they were not. They heard it, but they didn't want to believe it. And God will hold them responsible for what they heard. The fact is, your ignorance of sin is your fault. It's your fault. Look at that Bible on the table. You've dusted it off 1,000 times since it was given to you on your wedding day. Have you ever read it? Have you ever got into it and studied it? I've seen people saved over the years, and when they got saved, they said, well, I've got to get a Bible. But the bride said, oh, let's see. I think we've got one. I think we haven't given them on the wedding day. They had the source of all knowledge in the Bible. And they were ignorant. They had even a Bible, let alone its contents. The point is, friend, that God's going to hold you responsible for remaining in ignorance when the source of information is right within your hand or in your home. You haven't availed yourself of the light that God wants to give you in his precious and holy word. It will not be the preacher misled me when you meet God. The Lord Jesus says, my word shall judge you in the last day. It will be his word. His word. And so this subject of supposedly, I'm ignorant, therefore I'm all right, I'm safe. God wouldn't punish an ignorant person. He'll punish you unless you get to know about his son and the way of salvation. You can't hide behind ignorance when the source of light is at your disposal. So I trust you will see this. God said there must be a sin for ignorance. Ignorance of the Scriptures. That text we read, and the other we read, I want to notice how these chief priests, the scribes and the Pharisees, were they stupid? By no means. Gamaliel was one of the most learned men of his day. And yet they could not and would not see that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. and they had all the information in the world that they required. They knew the Old Testament prophets. They were trained in the synagogue. And Paul drives it home to them. Why the Word of God, the prophecies, are read every Sabbath day. And you know that the Word of God, the prophecies, were fulfilled. You know that. The prophecies told where Christ was to be born in Bethlehem, and he was born there. The Old Testament prophecies say he's to be born of a virgin. He was. And he was to grow up in Nazareth. And he was to live a sinless life. And perform miracles and wonders. He did all that. And the Old Testament prophecy said he was to die upon the cross. And the Old Testament prophecy declared he was to be raised from the dead. And he was to ascend back to the heaven. Psalm 110 says that. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The prophets knew all that. And the scribes and Pharisees of Christ's day knew all that. Not only did they know it by reading the Word of God, print, clear print on black, white paper, they actually saw it happen. They knew that Jesus Christ was here. They knew he did things that no one else could do, and they couldn't find fault with him. And on this occasion in the Acts, after the miraculous miracle of the healing of this man in chapter 3, the triple man, they couldn't say anything against it. And even Gamaliel said, that learned Jew, he prophesied that one man should die for the nation, that all the nations should not perish. And he prophesied that Jesus was that one. And yet they wouldn't accept it. With all that information, they said, no, we will not accept. How sad and tragic the thing. They wouldn't accept the one who was prophesied and came and did everything the Scripture said he would do. And still, after his death, the miraculous resurrection, ascension back to the Father, they still said, no, we'll not accept. I want you to read these texts. I'm going to read them in a paraphrased prologue that Tyndall in his printing of the first English New Testament. I think it's lovely. And he puts it this way. O men of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing tremendous miracles through him, as you well know. But God, following his prearranged plan, let you use the Roman government to nail him to the cross and murder him. And in the text we read, Chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Dear brothers, I realize what you did to Jesus was done in ignorance, and the same can be said of your leaders, but God was fulfilling the prophecies that the Messiah must suffer all these things. May this change your mind and attitude toward God. And in Acts 13, 27, and there Ruth rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled those very prophecies by condemning him. And in Acts 17, 2 and 3, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, who I preach unto you, is Christ. And there are other scriptures we could read. Well, why could not these priests, or why did they not accept the testimony of the Word of God and all that Jesus Christ did? And he's alive, he's in heaven, he proved a fact in sending his servants and his Holy Spirit, and miracles have been formed by them. The fact is this, they were brought face to face with this. That this one you crucified is the Son of God. He's your Messiah. And they wouldn't believe. Why did they not believe? They thought that their Messiah would come in all his regal glory, descending from heaven with all his angels, and come to Jerusalem, with all the splendor, all royalty and majesty. No, he didn't come that way. He came by way of the manger. He was just a plain, humble man. Just like men. Just like themselves in a physical sense. And they wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't accept what he said. Even after he produced all his credentials. And it's because of this they have a spirit of blindness. God said, I gave you so much light, and you turned against it. A veil is now upon your face. And you know that can happen to a Gentile. You ask me why it is that with all of the Bible evidence that we have today, and right this morning, the Bible being read in pulpits all over the world, just like Paul read the scriptures to these, the Old Testament scriptures to these Jews and the people who met in the synagogue. And today the Word of God is read from pulpits by learned men that are not fools. Some men today are brilliant in all matters. When it comes to some of the simple teachings of the Bible, they shake their heads. And yet the Word of God is read, they'll come to a text like, ye must be born again. And yet you ask them after, on the street should you meet them, what about being born again? You must be born again before you get there. What does that mean? Well, you know what they've learned at the colleges and the seminaries? I'll tell you what they've learned. They didn't learn to expound the scriptures. They learn to judge the truth and explain away the supernatural. That's what they learn. That's why the Apostle Paul brings it home to the Jews then, and it needs to be brought home to preachers today who've gone to college. Christ says, these things have been hid from the wise and the prudent and revealed unto babes. They have their letters. They have all the education they can cram into their head, and yet they don't know what it is to preach about the virgin birth. They don't even believe that, the vicarious sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in that. They don't believe in the resurrection, the supernatural resurrection. They don't believe in the coming again of Christ. They don't believe in these wonderful church truths. And yet they've got their titles. They stand in these pulpits. Learn men! And they don't know what being born again is. They preach good works, doing the best you can. Why are they so blind? Oh yes, they could preach on such things as ecology, sociology, ecumenicalism, tradition, and politics. They could preach on these things, civil rights, and church involvement. And the other day I heard a man laboring away, a very brilliant man, on the subject of abortion. I'm sure a lot of people got saved through that. Anything but preaching Christ and Him crucified. This is what they learned. That's why they've got the degrees they've got. Now you understand why they found fault with the disciples and called them unlearned and ignorant men, according to academic standards, according to the standard of education by the priests, and so on of that day, the doctor of the law, these fishermen, what do they know? Well, I'll tell you one thing, they had the best teacher any person could have. We'll say more about that when we get to that. God's selection of his instruments. The prophet gave his message. But here you find today men and women that know so much and say so little. I've been amazed at times listening to some men preach on the radio and on the TV. And boy, they come right up to the cross. You think, well, boy, he's going to tell them now. He's going to give them the truth. Man, they have to be recommended or commended. They just ground that thing so slick. They dodged the cross. They dodged the facts. And they wouldn't for the life of them come out and say, you people are lost and going to hell. You need to be born again. There'd be another pulpit, a preacher in that pulpit, the next church. But here they are with all the learning and knowledge. They seem to evade these simple truths that are in God's precious word. Yes, ever learning, the Bible says, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. People studying the Bible day after day, week after week. And when they get their degree, you ask them how, if they've been born again, and how do they have that experience? They don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about something that's not even in their mind. They think you can live a good life and do the best you can, and you're loyal to some church, and you get involved, and pay your tithe. You know. And that's why the public is in the mess they are today. But don't you blame that modernist preacher. Because you've got a Bible to read for yourself. And get into it and read it. And check on the preacher to see whether they're giving you the truth or whether they're not. Ah, yes, both shall fall into the ditch. And I trust, friend, you become enlightened. If you have the time to read other scriptures, we read them, but you haven't got the time. Whether you're wise or foolish, it depends upon whether you know Jesus Christ or whether you don't. Your knowledge, your degree of intelligence, as God sees you, depends on not whether you know about ecology and sociology and all this stuff. The whole thing depends on whether you know Jesus Christ or not. If you know Christ, then God says you're saved and you've got the wisdom of God. If you're as dumb as a dumbbell, you've got the wisdom of man. If you've got Christ, you've got the truth. For Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you have him, you have all that you need. Take you through the pearly gates. And if you don't know much when you go through the pearly gates, you might not have learned the alphabet. I'll tell you, you'll get all the wisdom you need up there when God gives you a capacity for eternal things and spiritual things. God compares the wisdom of this world with the wisdom of his wisdom over in Corinthians that will not take time to read. But in connection with God's wonderful salvation, bringing it down to an application, it's so simple. It's all in Christ Jesus. And that was the trouble with these Jews. They were so learned that they just couldn't accept the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. And they were ignorant. The Bible says they stumbled over the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. All that we need is in Christ. For instance, you can take the things that people are looking for and seeking after today in this world. They want love. They want joy. They want peace. They want satisfaction. Yes, they want these things. Where are you going to find these things? Not in the halls of learning. You'll find these things in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, and in Christ the Lord. Christopher Columbus was walking along the shores of Spain. From a boy, he had the desire to be an explorer. One day, he picked up something that was of interest to him, and he examined it, and after examining it, he found out it crystallized nuts. And he found out the kind of nut it was, and he discovered that that nut did not grow in his homeland. Another day, he picked up something else that he took an interest in, and had it examined, And it was a kind of fruit. It had been washed ashore, and he knew that fruit did not grow in his land. And so Christopher Columbus's thoughts roamed out over the waters. He thought there must be a land. There must be another country from whence these things have come. You know the story how he set sail, and it was a costly voyage, but finally he reached the country. He reached the land, America, South America, from whence this fruit came. And he was able to take it back to his homeland. Well, I want to say this, friend. Man cannot search for this fruit, the fruit that I've referred to. Love, joy, peace, happiness, satisfaction. It's not found here. It's not grown here in this world. Instead of us going abroad to find it, someone came from a faraway land and brought it to us. And that was Jesus Christ. He brought the very things that are not found here. Columbus sailed those rough waters. He paid a price. He lost many of his men. Though it was a costly tour for him, a costly voyage. He explored, yes, to satisfy the hunger of his heart, but it was costly. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world to bring to you and to me the fruit of another land. The fruit from heaven, peace, joy, everlasting life. Columbus never sailed seas so rough as the seas that Jesus Christ sailed to bring that fruit to you and bring it to me. He said, all thy wings and thy billows have gone over me. At Calvary, Jesus Christ faced the storm of God's wrath. Columbus spent many a dark night. But Jesus Christ spent the darkest night that was ever spent on the cross. When he cried out of that darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Today, friend, you and I can have this wonderful fruit of sins forgiven, pardon, and it's not crystallized, it's living, this fruit. Something that you can be turned upon that will meet your heart's need. It was brought here by Jesus Christ. And it's at your disposal this morning. You may have this. What led Columbus across those uncharted waters? The stars. The stars. And friend, God today has given you a map, a chart. He's given to you His Holy Spirit. He's given to you men to explain the chart. And the voyage to that distant land from whence comes this fruit. You need not grope around in ignorance. Columbus was in a measure ignorant of a lot lie beyond the horizon. That's why they thought the earth was round, because as they stood on shore, they saw the top of the sail of the ship, and as it drew closer, they saw more of the ship, and the idea they had was that the earth was round. But it wasn't. Or it was, rather, but not the way they thought it was. And so Columbus, he discovered this fruit in a faraway land he couldn't see. And he went out hoping he'd find it. But we've got something that's definite. Sure and certain. We don't have to live in ignorance as to how to get to heaven. It's clearly marked out for us in this chart, the Bible. And the Spirit of God, just like Columbus, kept his eye on the stars, and thus he was directed to this land. God has given to us the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the chart, and men are likened unto stars that are in his hand. and they explain the way to heaven to the man that is fairer than they. By faith I can see it afar, and the Father watches over the way to give me a dwelling place there. Do you want to go to that fatherly land? That land that's fairer than they? Then, friend, there's only one way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you upon the cross. Although Columbus suffered much, and he spent much, many died before he found the land prevents that fruitcake. No one ever suffered like Jesus Christ to bring that land, that fruit from heaven for you and for me. And he's gone back to the source from whence true love, true joy, true peace, true pardon, true forgiveness came from. It's found in a person. And you may have that person this morning. Need no longer to be in the darkness. Satan hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they should say, Satan wants to keep you in ignorance. He doesn't want you to know the truth. But I say this, I call heaven and earth to witness today. You can't go out of the Albany Gospel Chapel saying you don't know how to be saved. You've seen the light. Intellectually, I trust you're grasped by faith and experience in your heart God's wonderful salvation embodied in Jesus Christ. He's yours for the faith. Will you take it? Henceforth, be not ignorant. But be enlightened, informed. You know your sin. You know your sins are forgiven. You know you're on the way to heaven. You know you'll never perish because you have Christ. So we pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to thee. We ask thy blessing upon thy word. We ask thee, Father, to bless it. Oh, how we need thy truth. Send forth thy light and thy truth. We thank thee thou hast given us thine unerring word. We need not miss the way. Thou hast said a wayfaring man, though he be a fool, need not err therein. We need not to be educated, cultured, refined to go to heaven. Thou hast given us thy word and thy will. In simple, everyday language that we understand, O God, grant that the simplicity of thy wonderful redemption may be apprehended this morning by someone in this audience. We ask it in our Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us sing 242. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want and into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thy self, Jesus, I come to thee. Will you come to Christ this morning? If you have and not confessed it, come and tell it. You'd like to be saved. If you think we can help you, we'd be delighted to do so. Shall we stand and sing?